It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol issued subpoenas Monday to six of Trump's former top advisors. Two of them participated actively at the Willard Hotel Command Center, where Trump lackeys oversaw the effort to reverse his 2020 election loss to President Joe Biden. Lawyer John Eastman, he's the guy who developed that legal strategy to delay or block Biden's presidency, and former New York Police Commissioner Bernie Kerik, who spearheaded the search for evidence of voting fraud in a bunch of states. Also subpoenaed, Trump's re-election campaign manager, Bill Stepien, senior campaign advisor, Jason Miller, campaign national executive assistant, Angela McCollum, and former Donald Trump national security advisor, Michael Flynn. Now all they need is some method of enforcement to get these people to comply with the subpoenas. So that's six new ones, and there's no indication that the committee is done with them. In fact, Chairman Benny Thompson indicated that he signed 20 subpoenas last week. But of those, we've just learned about these six. Again, inherent contempt. Inherent contempt. Attorney General Merrick Garland announced Monday that federal prosecutors had charged a Ukrainian national, Yaroslav Vezinsky, with deploying the R-Evil ransomware against an American company in July. The DOJ also said it had seized $6 million in ransom payments. The 22-year-old Vezinsky allegedly spearheaded the attack over the 4th of July weekend against a Florida-based software firm, Kaseya. According to the indictment unsealed Monday, they infected up to 1,500 businesses around the world. Another alleged R-Evil operative, Russian national Yevgeny Polyanin, faces several charges as well, including conspiracy to commit fraud and conspiracy to commit money laundering. The former guy filed an emergency request to a federal judge late Monday night, trying once again to prevent the National Archives from sending sensitive records to the January 6th committee. The deadline to send them over is this Friday. Well, just after midnight Monday night, Judge Tanya Chutkan rejected it. She said the request itself was legally defective and premature. This all transpired over a two-hour span Monday night, and it comes just as this judge is already considering an earlier request by the former guy to prevent Congress from looking into his White House's records about his attempt to overturn the election. And then there's this disturbing story. A sitting congressman, Paul Gosar of Arizona, on Monday tweeted a photoshopped anime video depicting him killing Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and then attacking President Joe Biden. Obviously, as you'd expect, outrage ensued, and Gosar's spokeswoman actually said, quote, "Everyone needs to relax." Wow. AOC responded that Gosar, a, quote, "creepy member," will face no consequences because Kevin McCarthy will give him a pass. And unbelievably, that video is still up on Twitter today, and Paul Gosar's account is still active. WTAF. Talk about double standards. Well, a guy named Evan Newman, he's one of those January 6th insurrectionists who faces six charges for his conduct during the attack, has fled the country and is seeking asylum in the authoritarian state of Belarus. He told a TV host in a segment called Goodbye America, quote, "I do not believe that I've committed any crime." Good riddance, Mr. Newman. You know, somehow it's kind of fitting that an insurrectionist Trumper fled to Belarus, where migrants are desperately trying to leave. Many are gathering at the border, trying to cross into Poland. Poland has dispatched riot police to the area and put up coils of razor wire. Polish police posted video early Tuesday showing migrants who camped overnight just over Poland's eastern border as tensions escalated as a wave of people, mostly from Iraq and Syria, have sought to enter Poland. Migrants have also tried to push into Lithuania and Latvia, which also have borders with Belarus, in an effort to get to Germany or other countries in Western Europe. The European Union says that the president of Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko, is trying to destabilize Europe in retaliation against Western sanctions. And finally, Vaccinated international travelers arrived in the United States on Monday aboard sold-out planes as the Biden administration lifted restrictions that had prevented them from entering the country on non-essential trips for almost 20 months. Many of the travelers took the first opportunity to visit family members in the U.S. they'd been unable to since the start of the pandemic. Under this new policy, non-U.S. citizens can travel here for non-essential travel provided they can show proof of vaccination and a negative COVID-19 test within 3 days of departure. The COP26 Climate Summit in Scotland is now in its second week. One goal that participants hope to complete is a Glasgow Agreement to be released at the end of the summit, which would solidify international priorities like limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius, sticking to net zero emissions commitments, and providing help to countries most vulnerable to the climate crisis. The problem is major fossil fuel providers like Saudi Arabia, China, and Russia will likely resist adoption of a global warming cap. Meanwhile, former United States President Barack Obama spoke at the summit, criticizing his successor for pulling the U.S. out of the Paris Agreement and setting off, quote, 4 years of active hostility towards climate science. On the COVID front, globally, COVID-19 cases have now surpassed 250 million. That's just a year and 8 months after the World Health Organization gave this novel virus a name. Together, the U.S., India, and Brazil account for 40% of all reported cases. Globally, about 4 billion people have gotten at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine, and about 3.1 billion people are fully vaccinated. And in the U.S., Pfizer is expected to seek FDA authorization as soon as this week for a booster shot for everyone 18 and older. Sad news, as we learn that former Senator Max Cleland of Georgia has died at the age of 79. Cleland was a moderate Democrat from Georgia who had lost both his legs and his right arm while serving as an Army captain in Vietnam. He led what's now the Department of Veterans Affairs under President Jimmy Carter, was elected to the Senate in 1996, but lost his reelection 6 years later to Saxby Chambliss as part of a really reprehensible smear by his opponent questioning his commitment to national security. And finally, Chris Sununu, the governor of New Hampshire, announced Tuesday morning that he will not run for the Senate in 2022. He'll instead seek another term as governor. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.